More signs that the US economy is tearing ahead of the rest of the world, with official stats out on Friday night pointing to another big drop in unemployment. The news pushed up shares and yields on US government debt, while the greenback continued a rally that's been going on now for weeks. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell joins us. Hello, Cheryl.
Good morning, Fran.
Cheryl, Wall Street rose even though the data raises the chances of an early rate hike by the US Federal Reserve. Why?
Well, I think investors are deciding that a stronger US economy is good news after all, even if it does hasten the day when US interest rates will have to rise. Some 248,000 new jobs were created in September, according to that jobs report out on Friday night. That's about 35,000 more than the market was expecting. The jobless rate in the US also fell from 6.1% to 5.9%.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Below six.
Which is it's a six-year low. The US economy has been creating close to 250,000 new jobs a month this year. So that tells you how strong the underlying recovery is in the United States. Mind you, Americans still don't feel like the economy is doing a whole lot better. A lot of these new jobs are only part-time. Many Americans, like here, Australians, want to work longer hours.
Underemployed.
Yeah, but they can't find the work. And pay levels, crucially, remain stagnant in the US. But compared with the poor growth outlook for Europe right now, for China, the US is shaping up as the star performer, which perhaps can now hopefully save the global economy from another slump. It's why so much money is now flowing back into the US, into equities, US equities, into the US dollar, and now, as you say, into US government debt. Now that yields are rising on the prospect that US interest rates might have to rise as soon as March next year is the market tip. After a volatile week, global equities, including Wall Street, rallied on Friday on this news, on this strong jobs report. The S&P 500 in New York rose 1.1%. It's now up 6.5% for the year. Australia's main index, by contrast, is down 0.6% for the year.
Okay, well, let's bring it back home. The Reserve Bank meets tomorrow. Can we expect any change in thinking about the outlook for interest rates here?
Well, no one is expecting a change in the interest rate settings tomorrow. Official interest rates will remain at the ultra-low level for Australia of 2.5%. But clearly, the RBA is getting concerned about the housing market, of course, with the low rates now encouraging seemingly more speculative activity, with the fear that house prices are now rising to unsustainable levels. Now, we've been hearing from RBA officials, a lot of jawboning over the last couple of weeks, saying that they're considering using so-called macroprudential tools to limit risky lending. But the RBA Governor Glenn Stevens has expressed scepticism in the past about how well these tools actually work. The preferred option always from the bank is to raise interest rates to, say, cool down an overheated housing market. But at the moment, there are concerns that this could crunch the economy at the wrong time when the growth outlook for China in particular remains uncertain and the mining sector is being beaten up by lower commodity prices. Since the board's last meeting, you've seen this pessimism reflected in the stock market. As I said, the ASX 200 index is off 6.5% just in the past month. But the dollar has also fallen by the same amount over the past month, and it may even fall further. It plunged to a four-year low on Friday of 86.4 US cents. Now, the RBA is going to be very pleased about that because it helps in its rebalancing efforts for the economy by making Australia more competitive on the global market. So the interest tomorrow will be not in the decision of the RBA's, but the post-meeting statement to see if there's any change in the language on the currency and any hint, perhaps, of a rate rise down the track.
Well, you mentioned lower commodity prices. The falling iron ore price is still causing concern, not least for the federal government, Cheryl, which needs all the revenue it can get as it ramps up Australia's military mission in Iraq, for one thing.
Well, exactly. The iron ore price is a worry. It's fallen 22% since the May budget. It's now down to a five-year low of $79.60 US dollars a tonne. Now, the Fin Review over the weekend was estimating that equates to a hit in federal corporate tax receipts of around $4.4 billion since May. It's not all doom and gloom, though. Later this year, our LNG exports from Gladstone, for example, will begin to ramp up, and that'll see a whole new revenue stream flowing into federal coffers. The falling dollar again is a godsend. Deloitte Access Economics estimates that every 1 cent fall in the dollar adds an extra $480 million to the budget bottom line. So that's a windfall of some $3.8 billion given the currency has fallen nearly 8 US cents since May. But the falling iron ore price is certainly posing major difficulties for the mid-tier miners, which have higher costs. Less so the major miners, as I've said before. They're still ramping up production of iron ore despite an oversupply in the market. Last week, Rio Tinto announced it was seeking approval to build another iron ore mine in the Pilbara. So what's going on? I mean, are the big players trying to kind of push out the smaller producers and drive up the price that way?
Or they kind of a land grab going on.
Yeah, or maybe they're just more optimistic about their outlook for Chinese demand for iron ore, which of course is the main ingredient in steelmaking. Well, we may get an idea on what they're thinking when BHP Billiton updates analysts on its outlook for the iron ore market today, later today. Perhaps more interesting though, Fran, I want to point out the dramatic fall in the price of oil in the past month. Normally, the start of a military campaign in the Middle East would set global oil prices surging. Instead, they've plummeted from what, like a high of $115 a barrel in June when Islamic State began its military offensive. Now it's down to $92 a barrel for European Brent crude now. The rising US dollar is one factor behind the slump again, as it's made as it makes commodities priced in US dollars like oil and iron ore more expensive. Another, though, is again a massive oversupply of oil in the market. The world's biggest oil producer is Saudi Arabia. It's refusing to cut output. It doesn't want to lose market share to the up-and-comers, Iran and Iraq. So big changes in the oil market that have little to do with war and conflict for a change.
Yeah, good. Cheryl, it's a public holiday in half the country, New South Wales, Queensland, the ACT. And Tasmania, I think, but not for the rest of the country. So that means the share market will trade today?
Yes, it is open, but we can expect subdued trading today. Futures trading is actually pointing to a slight rise on opening of around 3 points. That would add to the 20-point rise on Friday, which saw the ASX 200 index close at 5,318 points. All eyes will be on the September jobs report out on Thursday, Fran, after last month's incredible performance, which saw 121,000 new jobs created and the jobless rate fall back here to 6.1%. We may see a correction to that this month when the data comes out on Thursday. The minutes of the Fed's last meeting are out this week too, which could also provide a further impetus to the mighty US dollar if they have something to say on rates. The Aussie dollar yesterday recovered some ground against the greenback. This morning it's buying 86.7 US cents, Fran.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor, and a correction, South Australia, who's having a holiday too, Labor Day weekend with New South Wales, Queensland and the ACT. And I hope you're all really enjoying it. In fact, I hope you're not even hearing me. I hope you're still sound asleep.